Chapter 2. I discover my world. The first things that I remember as a child are my mother's beautiful curly hair and Peggotty's cheeks, which were as hard and as red as apples. I was always surprised that the birds did not come and eat them. I can remember my mother and Peggotty on the floor with me as I took my first steps from one to the other. What other things do I remember? Let me see. In the clouds of my earliest memories, I can see our house. A long corridor led from the kitchen to the front door. There was a big, dark cupboard off the corridor. I often ran past it at night because I imagined terrible things lived in there. There were two sitting rooms. One was where we sat in the evening, my mother and I and Peggotty, because she was our friend when her work was done. The other was the best sitting room, which was more formal and not as comfortable. And now I can see the outside of our house in summer, with the bedroom windows open to let in the sweet air. In the back garden, there were trees filled with fruit that was tastier than any I have eaten since then. One night, Peggotty and I were sitting together by the fire. My mother was spending the evening at a neighbour's house, and I was reading a book about animals to Peggotty. I was tired of reading and felt very sleepy, but I was allowed to stay up late and wait for my mother to come home, so I did not want to go to bed.
"Peggotty," I said suddenly, "were you ever married?"
"Master Davy," replied Peggotty, "what's made you think about that?"
"But were you?" I said. "You're a very beautiful woman."
"Me? Beautiful? No, my dear," said Peggotty.
"You shouldn't marry more than one person, should you, Peggotty?"
I said.
"No, you shouldn't," she said.
"But if you marry a person and then become a widow, you can marry another person. Is that right?"
I asked.
"Yes, if you choose to, my dear," said Peggotty. "I don't know much about that because I was never married myself, Master Davy, and I don't plan to be."
I was worried that I had hurt Peggotty, but I soon saw that I was wrong. She opened her big, warm arms wide and held me so tightly that two buttons on the back of her dress flew off.
"Now, let me hear more about those animals," said Peggotty.
Soon my mother came home. She looked extremely pretty, I thought. There was a gentleman with beautiful black hair with her. The gentleman said hello to me, but for some reason I did not like him or his deep voice, and I felt jealous when his hand touched my mother's. She thanked the gentleman for walking her home, then said good night to him.
"Good night, my dear boy," he said to me. "I hope that you and I will be best friends."
"Good night,"
I said. I saw him turn around in the garden and give us one last look with his dark eyes before Peggotty closed the door and locked it. I saw the gentleman with the black hair, who I learned was Mr. Murdstone, many more times after that, but I never liked him any better. One evening, when my mother was out with another neighbour and I was reading about animals again, Peggotty nervously asked me a question.
"Master Davy, would you like to come to Yarmouth with me and spend a fortnight at my brother's house?"
"Is your brother a nice man, Peggotty?"
I asked.
"Oh, yes, Master Davy," cried Peggotty. "He is a fisherman there. Yarmouth is a lovely town by the sea. There are boats and ships to look at, and you can play with my nephew, Ham."
"That sounds wonderful, Peggotty, but what will my mother say?"
I asked. "We'll ask her as soon as she comes home," said Peggotty.
I waited patiently until my mother arrived so we could ask her. When we did, she did not seem at all surprised, and we planned everything that night. The day of our journey to Yarmouth soon came. It makes me sad even now to think of how pleased I was to leave my happy home. My mother kissed and held me for a long time when it was time to go. As Peggotty and I drove away in a carriage and left my mother in the road, Mr. Murdstone walked up to her and told her to stop crying.
"Why is he so interested?" I remember thinking.
The journey to Yarmouth was very slow, but Peggotty had a basket of food on her knee, so we ate a lot and then slept a lot. When we finally got there, the streets were filled with fishermen and smelled of fish. I thought it was the most wonderful place on earth.
"Here's my Ham!" screamed Peggotty. "You have grown!"
Ham was waiting for us and carried me home on his back. He was a big, strong boy with light curly hair that made me think of a sheep. We walked down narrow streets until we reached the beach.
"There's our house, Master Davy," Ham said.
I looked in all directions, but I could not see a house. Then I saw a black boat on the beach. As we got closer, I saw a sweet little door and windows along the sides. It was the best house that I had ever seen. Inside, the boathouse was beautifully clean and tidy. There was a table and chairs and lots of pictures on the walls. Peggotty opened a little door and showed me my bedroom at the back of the boat. We were welcomed by a very nice older woman and a beautiful little girl in a blue necklace called Emily. After dinner, a hairy man with a kind face came home. When he kissed Peggotty lovingly on the cheek, I knew that it was her brother and the master of the house, Mr. Peggotty.
"Pleased to meet you, sir," he said to me.
That night, when the door was shut and I could hear the wind on the sea, the little boat was the most warm and comfortable place that I could imagine.
"Mr. Peggotty,"
I said as I sat with him by the bright fire,
"why did you give your son the name Ham?"
"I didn't, Master Davy. I'm not his father. He was my brother Joe's son. Joe was a fisherman too, but he drowned in the sea," he said.
I was very surprised.
"And little Emily, she's your daughter, isn't she, Mr. Peggotty?"
I said.
"No, sir. Her father also drowned," he said.
"Don't you have any children, Mr. Peggotty?"
I asked.
"No, Master Davy. I never married," he answered with a laugh.
"Then who is that?"
I pointed to the older woman that I had met when we first arrived.
"That's Mrs. Gummidge," said Mr. Peggotty.
Later, in my little bedroom, Peggotty told me that Mr. Peggotty had adopted Ham and Emily, and that Mrs. Gummidge was a very poor widow whose husband had died many years ago. I realised how good Mr. Peggotty was. My fortnight in that little boat went very quickly. Little Emily and I played together every day, and we walked on the beach for hours. I am sure that I fell in love with her. When Mr. Peggotty and Ham were not working, they often walked with Emily and me and showed us the boats and ships. Soon it was time to go home. It broke my heart to leave them all, but it was hardest to say goodbye to little Emily. On the journey back, I felt happy again when I thought about seeing my mother, but I was surprised to see that she was not at the gate when we arrived. The door opened, but she was not there. It was a strange servant.
"Something is wrong, Peggotty. Where's Mother?" I cried. "Oh, Peggotty, is she dead?"
"No,"
Peggotty said so loudly that she gave herself a shock.
"Master Davy, I'm sorry that I haven't told you before now, but you have a new father."
I turned white.
"A new one?"
"A new one," she repeated.
"Come and see him and your mother."
We went into the best sitting room. My mother was on one side of the fire and Mr. Murdstone was on the other. My mother stood up, but Mr. Murdstone immediately ordered her to sit down again.
"Hello, Davy," he said to me.
I shook his hand, then went over to my mother. She kissed me, but quickly turned away. Everything at home suddenly felt very different. As soon as I could, I went upstairs to my bedroom and cried myself to sleep.